week when you did that bit about Waldorf?
Yeah.
Was that, and that lady that called in?
Yeah.
And yelled at you? Was that for real?
I think it was.
You think it was?
The reason is, after we, I went off the air with it, I asked her. I said, hey, that was pretty funny. Thank you. And she was still screaming. And I said, you can stop now. We're off the air. She was still screaming, so it might have been real. That woman was hot.
I know. Boy, I tell you. And you were pretty rude with her.
Well, she was kind of ticking me off, you know?
Yeah, that's true. She, what she said was uncalled for.
I mean, really. All we were doing is having a few laughs. You don't have to get so bent out of shape about it. But what the hey, I take the good with the bad, buddy. I'm a man, bold man, proud man, bulky man.
Yep, that's the way you got to be.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, see you later.
Yep. Hobble, hobble, hobble.
Hey, Grace, how you doing?
About like that.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir.
I just want to know how come you're getting down on a tourist all the time, and here you go last weekend acting like a tourist all weekend long.
Hey. My mother and father wanted to see some cherry blossoms. What could I do, buddy? What could I do when it's your mom and your pop?
Well, then don't start getting down on the tourists all the time.
Hey, let me tell you something, Buster. Tourists are maggots. Maggots!
Well, then you're a maggot too, Greaseman.
I didn't go with them. I hired somebody to go downtown with them.
Oh, now the story changes.
All right. Sorry, I won't make fun of tourists anymore.
Okay, I'll be listening now.
All right, I'll be here.
Okay, well, here you, Grease.
All right, bye-bye. I'm a man, I'm a big, big man.
Hello, Grease Minnelli.
Hi.
Hi, this is the first time I've been able to get you.
Yeah, buddy, what can I do for you?
You didn't go to the parade or see it on TV, did you?
No.
Boy, were you ever smart. It was cold. But I talked to 53 out of 55 of those princesses. You know what they all said about you?
What?
You were disgusting.
Oh, come on, not...
No, I'm serious. I got 53 out of 56 autographs. No,
really?
Serious. I see. The girl from South Dakota named Sue Ellen.
Why would they say I'm disgusting?
It said DC 101.
Oh, yeah? She did say that?
Yeah, she wrote that in my program.
Well, she can take a hike anyway. I got back at the... thank you, but I don't even want to talk about the cherry blossom princesses. That whole thing made me want to heave. I hate people put up on a pedestal like that. Them women, who do they think they are, anyway? Just because they're cherry blossom princesses, they think their poop don't stink? I mean, you know, those kind of women get on my nerves. I didn't see the parade, but I got my press pass out, and I went down to the banquet. And they had a special table all arranged for the princesses. And they introduced me, and they all turned around, and they said, oh, you're the one that's been making fun of us. I said, I just want to show you there's no hard feelings. I've been cutting up on the air, but I would like to show you that I'm a sport about it, so I'm going to help wait on the tables tonight. I will wait and serve on the princesses. And they all said, ah! So I went out into the kitchen, and I grabbed the salad bowl that they were all going to be eating out of, and I looked around. There was nobody around, so I grabbed the hydraulic. And I walked out there with that big baby and spooned it out. Yeah! I said, well, bon appetit. And I watched from the kitchen door as they all started eating heartily with gusto, with lip-smacking gusto. I watched it, and it felt good. Finally, the cook came, and he saw me looking. He stood by me, and he watched him. He said, yeah, look at them women there. They'll be hitting the streets tonight, probably dating. He watched them for a while. He said, think any of them will get pregnant? I said, well, not unless they drool.
Ah! Who's got the beef? The beef's at Anti...
Yeah.
Did I hear a siren in the background?
What?
What's that in the background?
A dog.
Oh, your dog. I thought it was a siren. What kind of dog is it? Sounds like a maggoty little bark to me.
He is.
What is it? A chihuahua?
He's a poodle.
A poodle?
Yeah.
Buddy, I know what's in your future.
What?
I know what's in your future, buddy. Anybody that owns a poodle, probably one day is going to end up here. But don't let it worry you. You'll be okay. What's your name?
Max.
Max what?
Marble. M-A-R-B-L-E.
Okay, hang on a second, Max. Hello, you're going to the movies.
Hello, Grease.
Hi. Would you like to go to the show?
No.
You don't want to see this movie? What's your name?
Danny.
Danny, why don't you want to go to the movies, buddy?
Mom, it's talking about going to the movies.
No, I don't mean with me on a date. I mean, you know, I'm giving away tickets, Danny. Oh, Danny, let me talk to your mother, Danny. Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. Hello?
Hello.
All right, buddy. Take a hike, have a nice life, AMF. Hello?
Hey, Grease.
Hi, you want to go to the movie?
Yeah.
All right, what's your name?
Dave Hoppmeister.
Dave Hoppmeister. Stand by a second, Dave. We'll get your tickets for you. All right, who have we got here?
Ann.
You want to go to the movie, see Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on a second, honey. Yeah, I got a few more tickets to give away. You can dial that thing throughout the morning at 4321-101. I'll give them to you as long as I have them. Should be fun. It's Thursday night. It's another DC 101 sneak preview. 5 minutes before 7, the Grease Man here, Steve Perry, and his latest time down there. Maybe today I'll just walk along as the joggers whip by me, as the vendors in their push carts sell their chili dogs. And as the sun beats down on the back of my neck, I'll remember another time when the sun was beating down on me. A time long ago, south of the border. Vamos, muchachos! Venga conmigo a la tierra de la muerte. Go to the land of the dead. One thing you had to know when you were down there was how to use a shooting iron. You had to keep it tied low on the hip. You had to be ready at all times to slap leather and ba-ba-bow! That's right. We practiced the forgotten art of fanning. That's when you took some tape and you taped that trigger down. And you drew it with your right hand and fanned the hammer with the left. I was a pro at it. For hours I'd practice. Shooting them bottles out in the Badlands. Blam! Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. Blam! Tinkle, tinkle. Blam! Tinkle. It was great. Because I was trying to impress this little number worked in the cantina by the name of Carmelita. So when I figured I had my shooting down real good, I walked in there and all eyes turned to the bulky gringo. I walked into the bar. I stood there for a second. Carmelita was eyeing me. So I reached for my gun, I pulled it out, and blam! I blew the piano player's hat right off. She kind of raised her eyebrows, and blam, blam! I fired again there, and blew the cufflinks off the piano player's sleeve. By this time, everybody's watching me. The piano player's still going on. They're used to that kind of thing in those border towns. Blam! I fired another round. I blew his belt buckle off. His pants started to slip down the crack of his behind. Blam! I fired again. I shot one pocket off. Blam! I fired again. Shot the other pocket off. Everybody applauded as the bartender tapped me on the shoulder and said, Señor Gringo, if I were you, I would take that gun in the kitchen and dip it in the bucket of chicken fat on the stove. I said, what are you, nuts? What do I want to do that for? He said, because, Señor Gringo, when Wyatt Earp gets done playing the piano, it will slide much easier up your tuca. Palmer is kind of famous now because he advertises jockey underwear. And now Joe Namath is going to get his kind of underwear. And it's probably going to be more of them fag bikini briefs, you know? I mean, let's face it, Jim Palmer is pretty bold, proud, and bulky. But come on, Jim, wearing them little dainty things, and probably Joe, who's even bulkier still, is going to clad his rather ample boy-laden tuchus in some other little kind of dainty underwear. They'll probably have to get a sander and sand down the lumps and lesions. I wonder if I could get a job like that, advertising underwear. Except I wouldn't advertise that kind of underwear. I'd advertise manly underwear, boxer shorts. I'd be the last Hollywood celebrity to advertise boxer shorts. I can just see them now. Big and baggy. You know, with lots of room for the manly man. Yeah, the manly man to sway. Born free as the wind blows. Boxer shorts. I'm the last guy to wear them with pride. Boxer shorts. The last vestige of machismo in a society gone wimpy. Boxer shorts. I can just see myself in Gentleman's Quarterly wearing them things. Yeah, maybe some big ones with little hearts on them or fire engines on them. My favorite, airplanes all over them. Maybe even polka dotted. What the hell? Polka dotted boxer shorts were good enough for our daddies. They're good enough for you and me. So I'll be wearing them things. I'll come out with a special Grease Man line. Regular. And for the chili dog eater, made out of asbestos. Whoa.
Can anyone ever have enough Gap clothes? The annual.
New in your life?
Nothing. I was gonna move to West Virginia.
Moved to West Virginia?
But, the plans sort of got changed.
Oh, you were going to move away with that man?
No.
You were just going to move away and start fresh, start over, forget everything.
Sort of.
Oh, God.
Far away. This place called, have you ever heard of Parsons?
Parsons, West Virginia. I wouldn't go there to throw up. Why in hell would you move to Parsons, West Virginia, when you have all the glory of the nation's capital at your feet right now?
Because I got offered a job.
Doing what? Spreading manure in a field?
That's about it.
Oh, come on. You wouldn't want to go there. Maybe stay here.
Why?
Look, if you're that desperate for a new job, I'll hire you.
What am I going to do?
Well, your official title will be Suppository Inserter. And there's only one prerequisite that I have to know as to whether or not you're qualified for the job.
Okay, let me know what it is.
Can you thread a needle?
Like a dog chases cats.
Well, then you're hired. Come on down here, bring a pair of dishwashing gloves and a gas mask, and you start tomorrow morning.
I don't know. That sounds awful tempting, you know, just leave everything and do that, you know?
Yeah. But just remember one thing. The OSHA requirements let you know that it is a dangerous job.
A danger. I like danger.
All right, because you have to be on your toes at all times. It's not a job you can just slough your way through. Remember to clear the area, drop to the floor, cover your head and your hands if you hear me yell, "Fire in the hole!"
Okay, I'll remember that.
All right.
Okay.
And occasionally you'll have to use an ice pick.
An ice pick
to hack your way to the target area. All right?
Okay, I'll remember those two very important, you know, aspects of the job.
All right, then. Well, I guess you're hired.
how many people have you interviewed for this?
Well, I had one lady that was working that way, but she lost four fingers the other day. And
sort of discouraged her, huh?
Sort of discouraged her, yeah.
She was on a good hand, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, Yul Brynner.
Vamos, muchachos! Venga conmigo a la tierra de la muerte. Going south of the border. Never get the first trip we took there. Back when I was still married to Estelle. And she was so excited about it, and I was kind of excited about it, that when we were going up the steps to get in the airplane, Estelle said, "Honey, I'm wearing my bathing suit under my clothes, and you're wearing yours, I know, because we didn't want to waste any time. Let's just heave the clothes." I said, "What?" And all everybody else is yelling, heave them, all the people getting on the plane. So we took off our clothes, and we heaved them in the air. We said, bye-bye, cold weather. And I got on the plane in my bikini briefs. Estelle got on the plane in her two-piece bathing suit. They shut the door, and there we are. So everybody's laughing, you know, because we're walking around on the plane in our bathing suits, and everybody's wearing overcoats. But we knew that we would be in Puerto Vallarta in no time at all. Imagine our shock and horror when we heard the pilot say, "Ladies and gentlemen, due to some tropical storm activity, we are unable to land at Puerto Vallarta. They're diverting us to Cleveland International Airport." I said, "Cleveland!" The pilot also said, "Unfortunately, the luggage could not hook up in time. So we won't be bringing your luggage until tomorrow." I looked at Estelle. I said, "You stupid bunch! You made me take off all my clothing. We're going to be in Cleveland. It's 20 below zero, and we ain't got no clothing. You stupid! I can't don't me!" Took three stewardesses to restrain me. Finally, we got off the plane. We huddled. We huddled as we ran for the terminal, bare feet in our bathing suits. Well, I figured what the hell we got nothing to do except wait till tomorrow, so we went into a bar to have a drink. We're sitting there at the stool, and the maitre d' comes over and says, "I'm sorry, monsieur, but you and your wife cannot sit here." I said, "I knew it, Estelle. I knew they had some kind of dress code in here." He said, "No, sir, it is not the dress code. It is just that your wife's rows of fat are visible from the dining area."
Rock and roll!
Crank it up on Washington's only rock and roll station. DC 101, WWDC-FM Washington, DC 101.
March right into that bathroom. You probably got a tinkle anyway.
Who says?
Don't you?
No, I did that at 2:30 this morning.
Well, you probably have to go again. Maybe it's time for constitutional.
No.
Yes, it is. You'll feel better.
No.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, you're sick in the morning.
What do you mean sick? I'm not sick.
I'm talking about constitutionals in the morning.
Well, that doesn't...
That's not sick.
I'm sick about that. Don't you normally take a constitutional first thing in the morning?
Yeah.
Well? So why does that make me sick? You know, every morning, like clockwork, I take a constitutional at 4:15, like clockwork, and I've been to see a doctor about it.
What?
I said I've been to see a doctor about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't get out of bed till 4:30.
Introducing new Zestier.
What it is, I know I'm not losing my grip. Hey, I'm still a man, a bold man, a proud man. I just can't help thinking about Clinton a little bit. And I know that it's so ridiculous. That's the thing about it. That's why I'm even afraid to tell my therapist. You know, I know what he'll say. He'll say I'm latent or something, and that's so ridiculous. That me, a man's man, a bold man, a proud man. But nonetheless, I had a dream last night. I dreamt that Clinton and I had set up housekeeping, and we had a nice little apartment. Everything was running smoothly. We were so happy together. And I remember it was morning, a beautiful sunny morning like this. And I'd watch Clinton get dressed and strap on that shoulder holster and get ready to go downtown to work for Homicide. So I went down in the kitchen and I started making his lunch so he could brown bag it. When Clinton walked in and looked at me standing there with the brown bag and said,
"What you need for lunch, punk?"
Well, Clinton, I have some cream cheese and jelly for you to take to work so you don't get hungry when you're chasing all those bad guys.
I hate cream cheese and jelly, punk. I told you a million times. I hate cream cheese and jelly.
I know you hate cream cheese and jelly, Clinton, but we're out of everything else. We don't have any bologna or salami or chili dogs or anything, and Oh, what'd you have to shoot my lunch for, Clinton?
You do all day.
Well, I have a lot to do all day. I mean, I'm working on my macrame. I'm trying to decorate this place and make it a place.
Now, punk, I'll teach you to make me cream cheese and jelly.
No, wait a minute. No, Clinton, not now. Oh, God. God. Clinton. I work so hard to make a nice house for you. You don't even make love to me. It's like it's not making love. It's punishment. And I don't like it. I'm going to go home to Mama.
Here's a little white wine. We'll make it up.
Tell you what. I'll drink this white wine with you, Clinton. You promise to be sweet to me.
I promise.
Okay. Okay, I'll...
Just for you, punk.
You got a toast for me?
Bottoms up.
Oh, no!
Hey, man. You got the blues on down to your shoes, and even your shoes are looking...
The elephants, and I love the circus. And they were enjoying the elephants walk right down North Capitol Street to the D.C. Armory. And I went there to watch the elephants. And as I stood there watching the elephants... I kind of flash back to my original creation. That time my father, who was a big game hunter, was piloting my family, and we lost power in the plane we were in. We crash landed in the jungle, killing him and my mom and my brothers and sisters, leaving me as a baby to be raised by the apes. And as I stood there on that street corner in North Capitol, looking at the elephants, I suddenly went back to those days. My mind kind of snapped a little bit, and I decided to stampede the elephants. I decided to stampede them, so I yelled at the top of my lungs. Left and right, far and wide. Cars were veering off the road as a tank-ton elephant would bear down. Look out, ladies! exquisite. They were slinging dung everywhere. They were crashing through the fronts in department stores. Knocking around the ladies' section. The elephants were just as terrified as the people. Never before were they around the city street. And there I was. Every time they slowed down, I would encourage them with other... Only the police helicopter units were called in. I saw them coming, trying to stampede the elephants back into some kind of reasonable, manageable area. They were firing in front of them. It was exquisite. Yes, open up on the elephants. Well, they kept seeing me yell. And they came for me. They knew I was responsible. Every time they'd get the elephants calmed down, they'd see me standing there yelling. Yelling, and the elephants would go nuts. So the police cordoned off an area and tried to track me down. It was then that I used the tried and true jungle method of escape. Whenever I was being attacked by aborigines, I'd call an elephant over and climb inside his bomb bay doors and wait. Wait! And that's just what I did. I called over the biggest elephant. He stood there obediently as I grabbed him by the tail and slung myself up exactly inside the elephant's fungus. And I waited. The police came closer and closer. I waited, and sure enough, I heard that telltale rumbling in the elephant's belly. I waited, held my ears, and was blasted off! Victory to make a safe landing in the Potomac and swim away before anybody realized the evil I had done. Yes. Oh, sure, there was one police marksman that tried to shoot me. Yeah, he tried, but as I flew overhead, I saw him sighting in, and I fogged the lens on his scope a little bit. Talk to a man that has appreciation of a few extra pounds. Yeah, I'm not disconcerted by pounds. When it comes to Hubba the Gee, I always say, the bigger the waistband, the deeper the quicksand. Getting fired up here. 7:04 there. The Thompson Twins at DC-101. Yeah, go ahead.
That thing you were just talking to, Don?
Yeah.
You gonna hop in the key with that thing?
Yeah, buddy, that thing is mine, buddy.
Are you sure? That's why you didn't let nobody in on the phone, huh?
Oh, yeah, I was going to, but when I heard she was, you know, she's in D.C. and she's done with work at 10 o'clock, it was too good to pass up.
That sounds like let up or knit out. Hey, you better check that thing out with your microscope for the hippies, huh?
Oh, you think that maybe she's contagious of in some way?
Something, yeah, you don't want to catch that, man.
What would I do is you see, they don't realize it. But out in the lobby, when you wait to talk to me,
Yeah. The
chair that these people sit in is photosensitive, which means, in essence, that they are completely gynecologically examined before I ever come walking out.
Go ahead.
No, really. No, this chair that we have in the lobby, it looks like a normal sofa, but it cost me $50,000. But I figure it's money well spent, because as the woman sits there waiting for me, the secretary says, Mr. Griesmanelli will be 5 minutes. There's a tremendous amount of technical operations that are happening immediately below the tuchus area. I mean, right. She's given a pap smear and a test for any kind of contagion or virus infection. She's also checked for Klingons and will nots. I mean, that thing, and of course, there's also an olfactory sensor, so that if that thing is, how should we say, just a little zesty, all the lights in the building start going, whoop, 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 whoop.
Crazy.
I'm not crazy. No, you don't understand, buddy. I have taken the fine art of hobble to its ultimate degree. You see, some people just blindly hobble without fear. But no. I figure since hobble is my hobby, it's worth the investment. I'll never forget the day that chair was delivered. A man in a lab coat delivered it. We put it out in the lobby. It's very comfortable. I tried sitting in it. Nauga hide cover. But underneath, there's so many instruments. It's unbelievable. I had rendezvoused with someone I had never seen before to come meet me for a little hobble. And sure enough, the control panel, with all the dials and gauges and buttons, readouts, and computer printout, is in my office. So sure enough, She arrives. I have a video monitor, also monitor in the lobby. So when they say, Mr. Greaseman Eddie, Zelda is here, I can just hit my video screen and there's a picture of Zelda sitting there. So I can decide the tack I'm going to take before I even get there. And sometimes it's nice just to watch them for a while. You know, you get their habits. You know, the secretary's busy at the desk. They're just sitting there. There's nobody watching them. So I can watch them to see if, you know, they sit there with their finger and their nose buried to the second knuckle. I know not to kiss her hand when I say hello. I mean, it's just important for a Hobbit and Goggin man to take care of these things. So that first day that the chair arrived, the technician was in my office to help me so I would understand what everything meant. So she's sitting there. She doesn't realize it, that there are all these gauges and dials and button and sensing devices right under her tuchus, taking all kinds of readings. He said, now you'll see this gauge here. This is a measure of the olfactory quotient. We're getting a little high reading on olfactory quotient. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, do you like Limburger? I said, well, yeah, I kind of do. He said, you'll have no problem then. Let's move on here to the effect of contagions. We shall now scan for lesions. No lesions offhandedly, but that does not preclude the possibility of something in the incubation stage, which we like to put as acceptable risk. In this case, I think you're looking at a 77 to 82% probability that she is free. Now let's check the Klingon and will not factor on the tocostal area. Very fine there, no problem with that. Check cellulite composition of the tocostal region here. Right, so there is a little bit factor there, but, you know, the bigger the cushion, the better the pushing, right? Deeper the bigger the waistband, the deeper the quicksand, right? So, you know, if you want to deal with it, here's the computer printout. Oh, one thing we didn't check. Diameter. Let's check that. Wow. Getting a lot of rebound there. That means a lot. That's pretty narrow. You're talking narrow there. You're talking the eye of a needle. Let me see here. Yes, Let's check for recent Hobbit McGee. I mean, you don't want to be where someone else has just been, do you? Let's check here. Oh, we're still talking lingering aftermath there, so whatever you do, don't get too exploratory. And so, you know, this thing was just amazing. I was finding out all about this woman before I even... And I'm looking at her face on the screen, and we're just sitting there when suddenly there was a tremendous roar! All the gauges blew out. There was glass flying everywhere. All the little needles were spinning around and around and around and around. We were both knocked to the ground. There was smoke coming out of the video screen. I said, Doctor, Doctor, what happened? He said, well, as near as I can figure, she must have let out a silent but deadly...
Get ready to pound it down.
If you would answer one question for me.
All right, I'll try.
Okay, it's multiple choice.
Go ahead.
Let me give you all the choices before you answer, okay?
All right.
How do you know when you pass an elephant?
How do you know what?
When you pass an elephant, A, you see a big gray thing in your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
B, you squash your wide receiver with a completed pass. C, you feel excruciating pain. Or D, you can't close the toilet seat.
Hey, that's pretty clever. That's pretty clever. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Oh, you're not going to pick an answer?
Well, no, of course not. It's silly. Thank you. Hello.
Hello, Greaseman. Hi, it's Joel.
Hi, Joel. Oh, God. You don't have another poem, do you, Joel?
No. You know when we finished the first one, that's why. It was really good.
I heard it. God is great. God is good. And we like him. Yes, we would. But he came, so we went. And I'm living in my tent. But I say, dear Lord, please.
Guess what?
What?
I write poetry, I sing, I dance, and I play drums.
Let me hear you sing.
Sing? I can't. I have a cold now.
Come on. You got a week signed up in Vegas, and you got to sing. You sing, cold or no cold. You think Robert Goulet says, I can, I got a cold? Look, here's what you do. Here's the trick to singing with a cold. Before you sing anything, just say this.
Yeah.
All right, now you should be able to sing. Go ahead.
Okay.
Now sing.
Okay. Lady love never smiles, so don't you look to me a while. Do with me what you will. How's that?
If I were you, Joel, I'd get a really good technical education. See you later. Hello.
Morning, Grease. How you doing?
Good, good.
Hey, where's this big article on you in the paper?
It was in Sunday's paper in the Outlook section.
Oh, Outlook?
Outlook, Outlook.
Oh, okay. Hey, where is this Bijou? Bayou.
Bayou, not the Bijou. I ain't at some fag burlesque house. I'm at a manly bar, the Bayou.
Where is it?
It's on K Street in Georgetown.
K Street in Georgetown?
Right. If you were coming from fashionable Bethesda, you would get on Wisconsin
Avenue. I'm coming from Low Life Alexandria.
All right. Well, then come over to Key Bridge. Hang a right on M Street. When you get to Wisconsin, hang another right. Take it all the way down to the bottom of the hill, and bingo, there's the Bayou.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot there, Grease.
Right, to the corner of Wisconsin and K in Georgetown.
You got it.
All right, bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Yeah, see you later, you maggot. She said, the pressure, being a boss, Jack. Sometimes I wish I was back in my favorite position there. My favorite profession. Let me show you a little bit about it. Time to wonder what it must be like to strap on a gun and pin on a badge and become a lawman. You see, because when you're a lawman and you feel rotten, you can take it out on the whole world. That's the great thing about it. That's the great thing about being a cop. I remember I'd be parked downtown, reading the newspaper in my squad car. Some maggot would come up to the window and say, "Excuse me, sir, is this the right road to Disney World?" I'd just look at him and say, and watch him cower in fear as I sat there reading my newspaper. I had one guy come back.